Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place. The point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Rich or Miss, episode 41. Martin Hisbook is a managing partner at Gerber Brand Consulting, an Asia-focused marketing and branding agency based in Taiwan.
He has over 25 years' experience bringing global products to the Asian market and Asia's products to the world.
Martin Hisbook, I'm so happy to have you here.
Hello, ni hao. Greetings from Taiwan.
Thank you. So great to have you here on the show. I just shared with our listeners what you've done until now. And I would like to ask you to share with us what you're doing today, what you're most passionate about, and where you're heading.
We share a lot of history together. I came to Taiwan more than 25 years ago as a student.
Oh.
To study Chinese, and I got a PhD in classical Chinese in the good old days in Taiwan. And then I stayed on and started a company, then worked for a big consulting agency. And 6 years back, got into business with my partner, Richard DeVries, and we started a marketing and branding consulting company in Taiwan.
Wow. So actually you came from the States to Taiwan?
I came from Europe originally. So, yes, from
where in Europe?
Austria.
Oh. So, and then you went to Taiwan. It's so interesting you chose Taiwan.
Well, the reason I chose Taiwan is that was right after 1989, after Tiananmen, and I didn't want to go to China. I wanted to study Chinese, but I didn't want to go to China anymore. So I chose Taiwan, and I'm very lucky that I did. I'm very happy that I did.
I would like to ask you, what are you doing there in your new agency? Not so new, it's 6 years already. And where are you heading?
So the situation that most of your listeners know from their own country, if they do marketing or consulting, in Taiwan, it's a little bit different. Taiwan has been for many, many decades a big manufacturing hub.
Yeah.
With companies producing an amazing amount of products. Taiwan is the 14th largest trading nation in the world. And if you look at the size of the island, that is just simply amazing. Most of your computers, your iPhones, your iPads are made by Taiwanese companies, whether in China or in neighboring countries. But these are Taiwanese companies who produce a lot of products that the world uses.
Wow.
But these companies, they're good at manufacturing, but they never had the need for marketing.
Okay.
And many of these companies have reached a stage in their development where they, maybe because of the founder's passion or because of the need to differentiate because of an impasse in their industry, they are now at the stage where they're saying, okay, we have made your products for so long, why don't we make our own brands?
Oh.
So in Taiwan, for the last 10 years, there has been this huge upswell to learn branding and marketing. And this is why I stayed on and started this company.
Wow. Actually, is that starting to be developed? Is people understand what marketing and branding is?
Very slowly, but yes, absolutely. And they're starting to hire a lot of foreign talent. Taiwan has a demographic situation not unlike Japan, where the fertility rate is very low.
Yeah.
So I think the replacement rate is 2.1, and Taiwan has a fertility rate of like under 1.
Oh.
So not enough people, but unlike Japan, Taiwan is really opening up to the world.
Yeah.
There's lots of people from Southeast Asia, from Europe, from America coming into Taiwan and working here. And they are bringing with them their knowledge of branding and marketing. So the country is really changing very quickly.
That's beautiful. the manufacturers and other businesses, are they mainly interested in marketing in Taiwan?
No. It's completely global. So if I give you an example, we are working with a company that makes cameras of all kinds for 18 big brands. I can't name them, but they're some of the biggest brands in the world. And their cameras are actually made by a Taiwanese company nobody knows. So it's like Foxconn. All the Apple products are made by Foxconn. So the manufacturer is an independent entity, it's a Taiwanese company. And now this company is saying, hey, we have all these products. We have accumulated all this R&D and these patents. We have become really strong, but nobody knows us. We're not a brand. And they want to launch global brands under their own name, under their own steam.
It's so interesting because this is, in a way, the story of Lenovo and IBM.
This is, in a way, the story. But what you have in Taiwan is less of an appetite for acquisition and merging with other partners. They have a real passion now to do it themselves and get onto the global stage. So most of my customers at this point are companies with 20, 30, 40, 50 years of manufacturing experience with sometimes 2,000-3,000 employees, but maybe one person in charge of marketing and absolutely no marketing experience.
So you must have a very interesting work, isn't it?
It is hugely interesting and also very challenging because with many of these companies, you really have to start from zero.
Oh, I would like to ask you, is there anything else about your customers that characterize them? Who are they?
We are working mostly with two types of customers. The one is the segment that I just described. These are these huge manufacturers, and they are in the machinery industry. They're in the IT industry, electronics industry. So all the things that Taiwan has been making for many years. And the second group of customers, and that's, I'd say 30% of our business, is really creative startups. There is a tradition in Taiwanese society that when you turn 40 years of age and you have enough experience, work experience, that you should start your own business. And so there are a lot of engineers and marketers and managers who are starting their own startups. These startups, that is around 30% of our business at Gerber Consulting, and they are in the fields of electronics, but also machine learning, genomics, blockchain applications, any of the new technologies. A lot of app development. Taiwan makes an enormous amount of apps for phones, Android and iPhone.
And a lot of them just keep being entrepreneurs and going all the way?
Yes. Of course, a lot of startups fail. And a lot of startups fail because they don't have the right marketing experience.
Launch this podcast because so many entrepreneurs and startups are not aware that everything comes from focusing in the customers and doing it the opposite.
Absolutely. In Taiwan, the situation is very extreme because the whole culture over the last half century was based on manufacturing and making things. So when these companies, these people start to make their own startups, they approach them from the question of what can I make? What are my capabilities? And they never pause to ask, what does the customer actually want?
Sure.
So at my company, we get a lot of inquiries from startups that say, hey, I'm doing this and this and this. Can you help me market this? And we go to them and say, I'm sorry to tell you, but it's very nice that you can do this, but nobody's going to want this.
Oh.
So it's sometimes a very painful process that we go through as a management consultant.
It is. I want to ask you to tell us just briefly about your career. And I also heard that you are on the radio. So I want to hear this this story.
I do a lot of podcasts because Taiwan is very isolated and I speak Chinese. So I'm being often invited to speak on local radio shows. But increasingly also on international podcasts. My career path is very, very strange. I used to work for the Austrian Trade Office, and the job of that office is to bring Austrian and European companies into Taiwan. So for about 12 years, I was focusing on teaching multinational companies how to market their products in Taiwan. And then I saw that there's really much more of a need in the other direction.
And then you opened your own agency, or you had some in between?
No, there was nothing in between. Gerber Consulting is my partner, Richard DeVries, who's Canadian, who's been here in Taiwan for also 12 years, married here. We started this company together.
Beautiful. So you're a kind of entrepreneur yourself, and you're working with a lot of startups and entrepreneurs.
Yes.
And I want to ask you, what is your concept or beliefs on the way a startup or entrepreneurial business should approach its customers? And give our listeners your best advice for the customer's approach and focus.
Okay. For the startups, I have this standard phrase that is based on, I think it was Kennedy, you know, said, don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And it's the same with startups. Don't ask what your customers can do for you, but what you can do for your customer. It's about the value proposition. It really doesn't matter what your own capabilities are if you don't understand what people want. And it sounds a bit corny, but even companies like Apple, who invented a completely new product that nobody knew they wanted, even in this situation, there is a lot of understanding of the market in there. I always say that Apple isn't really an innovative company. They are an improving company. They improve things that are already in the market.
That's right. That's correct. Steve Jobs likes to say that they are not making researchers, but actually they are searching their market all the time.
Yeah.
That's where they came from. Okay.
I can give you a funny example that we have quite a lot of customers who come to me and they say, hey, can you sell this product for me? Can you market this product? And my first step is always, okay, this is our procedure at Gerber Consulting. The first thing we do is we do some market research, and we spend several weeks or sometimes months looking at customers and their preferences in any given industry. And very often these manufacturing-based companies, they look at my price quotation as an agency and they say, okay, I accept that, but can you do without the first part? We don't need the research. Just do it.
We already know who our customer is.
Exactly. And these companies just invariably always fail. You go and you look for them like a year after and they're gone.
It's so great because we are sharing so many mutual experiences. I rarely speak with marketing people. Usually the people that I talk with are entrepreneurs that found out how to do that. And usually it took them several years to find out how to listen to the customers. But this is the number one, actually, it's the almost only advice that they talk about. And I want to ask you, what is your advice?
There has to be a huge amount of listening. And this even applies to my own business. So I run a marketing agency, and I too have to sell my product. And my product is advice. So when I go to a company, I don't go in there and lecture them. I don't sell them a one-day training course on how to do things right. But I always start up with a kind of an audit or an assessment where we sit down with the company and we ask them, okay, who are the key people in charge? What are they working on? What is their background? What are their capabilities? And how do they think about marketing? We do a lot of digital marketing, we do a lot of strategy development, but every client interaction, every case that we take on starts with an internal audit of the company itself. So we get to know the people. And then I come up with our strategy. How are we going to advise this company? Apart from startups, we also work with these big companies and also multinational companies for whom we do training. So there's a few big pharma companies and IT companies who have problems in the Taiwan market. Some of them European, some of them American, and we offer them training. But before we go a training or offer them like a standard training course, we go there and ask them, hey, what's your real problem in the market? Why are you turning to a consultant? Because I don't want to offer you off-the-shelf corny advice about and some boring marketing speak. I really want to help you solve your problem.
So if you would have to say it as an advice, how would you say that?
Listen to the people you're trying to sell to. Talk to them or do the market research.
Sure.
Just because you can do a new product, it doesn't mean it's going to sell.
Hmm. And now we're going to talk about successes in a minute, but I want to ask you to tell us, what is your biggest, most critical failure with customers? The one that affected your entrepreneurial journey the most. Can you tell us about this?
As a consulting agent, we didn't really have like a huge failure with the customer, but at the very beginning, when customers told us, okay, we do not need the research part, we don't want to spend the money on the research, just tell us what to do. Sometimes we agreed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, okay, you don't want to spend the money on our research work, then we're just going to give you canned advice on what we think is right. And almost all of these customers ended up being unhappy with our service.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we didn't spend the time, we didn't spend the effort, we didn't do the focus groups, we didn't do the market research, and because we didn't get paid for it, obviously. So we just went there and gave them what we thought was right, and then that often turned out not to be right.
Of course, because we don't know. I always say that a good marketer knows that he doesn't know. All we know is how to study the market. But we don't know about the market anything more than anyone else.
I have a very good example. A company that makes toilet paper. And as I said before, like most of our customers, this is IT industry and electronic manufacturing and chemicals and pharmaceuticals. And then there is this company that makes toilet paper. And they didn't want to pay for the research. They just wanted us to teach them how to do digital marketing.
True.
So this ended up being very funny because even during the training, I realized that this is not going to work. I realized that I have a background with engineering and electronics and all this hard stuff. And I realized while I was talking, I really don't know anything about toilet paper. I don't know what customers value. The hardness, the softness, whether it crumbles, whether... And so this was a real failure.
It's a beautiful story. And now I would like you to tell us the story of your greatest, most significant success.
I'm very proud of the cases where we bridged a really intercultural gap that companies often don't see. And I'm going to give you two examples for this. The first one is one of our clients, they make sunscreen. Now, if you think of sunscreen in the West, in America, in Europe, its primal function is to help your skin bronze better, so to tan better.
Okay.
And their entire marketing message, their imagery, their visual imagery for their product is based on tanned bodies at the beach and surfers and whatnot.
Yeah.
Now, when they came with this product into the Asian market, and we did this for the greater China area, Japan, they wanted to hire us and say, okay, can you do marketing for us there? And we go back to them and said, okay, we can, but you have to understand that you will have to change your entire image. Because in Asia, people do not go to the beach and get tanned. And there's very few surfers even here. And 99% of your sales are going to come from high PF factor sunscreen that protects the skin from tanning at all. And the imagery is going to have to be white skin because it's valued very highly in Taiwan.
Interesting. So interesting.
And so a complete change for that company. And then so we came up with an entire different marketing campaign. And we had to throw out all of their traditional imagery. And when a company accepts this kind of advice that involves so much change in your marketing message, as an agency, you can be very proud if that succeeds in the end.
Wow.
And we had the same with an energy drink that came into Taiwan. And this energy drink, their entire marketing is just based on outdoor activities, whereas in Taiwan, people use energy drinks to give them energy during the hard work day. So again, the marketing message had to be changed completely.
Sure. Now I would like you to recommend the best or most effective technological or digital tools that related to customer-focused marketing on sales.
For me personally, my most effective marketing tool is LinkedIn. I have in excess of 30,000 followers on LinkedIn, and I actively use it. It is a really good marketing tool for B2B in our key markets.
Also in Taiwan?
Yes, yes. And it's growing quickly. Facebook, yes, but there are a few things that Facebook is very popular in Taiwan, but it's also used mainly as an entertainment tool after work. So it's almost like when people go to work, they switch to LinkedIn, and when they go home from work, they switch back to Facebook.
You know, there are so many things that affect successes, we all know that, but I want to ask you, what is the most important factor that affected your success? What is your key success factor?
In the last few years that our agency, the Gerber Brand Consulting, grew really rapidly, I think that the key to the success is responsiveness. So that means you, these digital tools, using LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter, as we use Line here in Taiwan as a chat tool, a lot of people are on these tools, but they use them very passively. Whereas I made an effort to be active there, to engage with people, to try to answer every message, to try to follow up every link. Sometimes it's very difficult.
Yeah, I was so happy with your such a quick response. It was really, I must say that from firsthand, that it was really a surprise. It's beautiful, and I'm sure the people in Taiwan are appreciated this as well, although you say that their culture is different.
Their culture is different, and this is why I stand out. So ultimately, as a marketer, you have to stand out. And if you look at LinkedIn, like I think 99% of people, they use LinkedIn once a month, and I am there all the time. So I get like 10, 20 follow requests every single day, sometimes more. And yeah. I've become kind of a LinkedIn celebrity. And this is what helped, together with the blog I write on our website, gerberconsulting.com, we get a lot of followers because we stand out, because we are like the only ones who are really that active. But it takes the effort. You have to make the effort to do this. And if you don't, then you're just going to be just like anybody else. Standing out ultimately is the secret sauce of marketing.
It is. Definitely. I would like to end this really interesting conversation with our mountain question.
You know what the answer will be.
No, I don't know. I can guess, though. And I just want to say that since we believe that the best way for entrepreneurs is really to take ownership of a mountain in the mind of consumers and on the market category, and I wanted to ask you, is there any mountain you're climbing, or you climbed, or you are wishing to climb?
I'm gonna tell you a secret. Taiwan has a really famous mountain. It's called Mount Jade, Yushan. And Taiwan is this tiny tropical, subtropical island with beaches and rainforests. And in the south of it, there is a 4,000 meter high mountain with snow-capped peaks. It is, first of all, it's really amazing. It's a natural wonder. When you take a plane to Taiwan and land, it's like if it glows in the morning sun. It's so beautiful. And my secret is I have never been up Mount Jade.
Oh! Are you going to?
I've been here for over 25 years and I never made it to that mountain. So my answer is very clear. Before I die, I'm going to go up Mount Jade.
Okay, well, we're going to talk, I hope, in a few years and check it out. However, I would like really to thank you for this chat and interview. It has been so different, and yet we see that marketing and the need to listen to your customers is always the same, and it's even perhaps stronger in a place like Taiwan.
It is. It's the same everywhere in the world. If you don't listen, then you better don't start talking.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you for being here. It has been a pleasure.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
And for you, our listeners, until the next time.
It all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.